So why don't we hear about a case from your practice? You have a 62-year-old man with basal cell. What happened there?
Yeah, so this individual was, I mean, could be just about any of us, slightly overweight with diabetes, and really had had a long history of sun exposure. And he developed a lesion on his temple, which he observed it, and his wife was nagging at him to try to get it removed. Eventually did see a dermatologist and had it biopsied, and it came back as a basal cell carcinoma. And this is a person who had had previous lesions, actinic keratoses, and other things taken off of his skin. Really didn't worry about it too much, but was observed that after the lesion was resected, that it turned out that the margins actually were positive. And so they went back and they did a wider excision of the lesion. And this time, again, the margins were close, but they felt confident at least that they had removed the basal cell carcinoma at that point.
Just out of curiosity, and a lot of times I have in my mind when I hear about locally advanced basal cell, a person who's on the fringe of society, who's not getting medical care. What about this man?
Oh, so absolutely not, for this guy at least. I mean, this was a very well-off gentleman who, you know, had had a lot of sun exposure over the course of his life and really just kind of thought, this just isn't a big deal. It's a little bump on my skin. And it really took quite a bit to get that person to the doctor. And I think this really does raise that as we get older in society these days with the amount of sun exposure that the population is taking, it's really going to become essential that people do see their dermatologist and really consider having any new lesion biopsied and removed.
So what was the next step with this man?
So for this man, you know, after this lesion was removed, it was assumed that things are taken care of and it's not going to be a big issue. Unfortunately, it was not more than about 6 months before the skin graft that was required to close the previous lesion started to sort of change in color and eventually became nodular. And so at that point, he returned to the dermatologist, or I think actually a surgeon at that point, and a re-biopsy of the area was taken and unfortunately showed that there was still residual or locally recurrent basal cell carcinoma that was present. And so that was quite unfortunate. He did have an attempted resection of that lesion again, but unfortunately, again, had positive margins on the re-resection and now had a very significant problem because now he had a surgical wound that actually would not heal right because there was residual basal cell carcinoma that was present. So a patient was referred to a radiation oncologist and had radiation to that area. Again, unfortunately, while there was some initial control of the disease for a period of time, over a relatively short period of time, we start to see a disease outgrowth, again, now sort of in more of a miliary pattern extending into the skin going sideways. And what we saw was that the initial surgical lesion really started to degrade and started to fall apart, such that now there was an open wound that really wouldn't heal after multiple surgeries and radiation. So biopsy of that lesion did show residual basal cell carcinoma. And in that time, unfortunately, he was referred to us being deemed to be unresectable basal cell carcinoma. So realize that this is a patient that not with metastatic disease like we would commonly think about in the medical oncology setting, but rather with a local problem of a lesion on his temple, now with basically a hole in his skin for opportunistic infections to take root.
Just to clarify, at the point he saw you, had he seen a medical oncologist?
To that point, he had not seen a medical oncologist because this had been managed with a dermatologist and a surgeon as well as a radiation oncologist, but there hadn't been thought to have a role for a medical oncologist at that point. So this patient was in the community being managed by his providers there.
How long ago was this?
This odyssey for him started less than 2 years ago. He got referred to me more about a year ago.
Because I am kind of curious, since it's, you know, not that common out there and certainly not common in medical oncology, whether you're seeing patients. I mean, to me, it sounds like it's maybe a little before you got stereotactic radiation that maybe you shouldn't be considered for a hedgehog inhibitor before that.
Yeah, that's a very reasonable question. I think that that's an area that's sort of unknown, and this gets to the workflows in, you know, the community oncology setting. I don't know that it's right or wrong. There aren't any studies that look at radiation before or after hedgehog inhibitors, but you could actually ask a quality of life question that if we had intervened earlier, would he not quite have as much of an issue? But I think that's hard to say.
No, I mean, I was just wondering in terms of awareness in dermatologists and surgeons about hedgehog inhibitors, you would think if they had somebody with, you know, an unresectable one, they would be aware that these agents are there.
Yeah, but I think that uptake in the dermatologic as well as the dermatological surgical approach or settings, I think they are broadly aware. And I think it often comes down to the patient in front of you. Do you as the physician think, oh, I can get this and I can really take care of this problem? I think often that takes us down that route, sometimes to a place where perhaps if we had a few steps earlier, you know, reconsidered, we might have made a different calculation.
So What happened next?
So being deemed unresectable, he came to see me, and the conversation then was really about how are we going to manage this as long as we possibly can. And we did present options to him of hedgehog inhibitor, which for all the reasons around hedgehog signaling to basal cell carcinoma could be very reasonable. We did discuss platinum-based chemotherapy as a potential option, as well as a few clinical trials. And there are some things in the immunotherapy world, as well as just in the phase one world, that might be of interest.